You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. It's almost here. Training camp around the NFL will be opening. We'll find a lot more going on. We already had, unfortunately, one big injury here with Cam Akers going down with the ruptured Achilles from the Rams. So, bummer, because we talked about how much we loved him as our favorite second-year player here to target in all drafts. So now we'll have to pivot to Daryl Henderson as a later pick. So, bad break there. We'll find out a lot more about young players, and hopefully a lot of guys will stay healthy here to make our fantasy football pool of players at the highest level. Today, we're going to continue talking about those players. We've broken down the training camp battles that are there at quarterback, running back, and wide receiver. These are notable situations with some uncertainty on who will be the main man, the pecking order, all that, how a certain player fits in with this team. Are they a little bit undervalued? Are they a little bit overvalued with the way things are trending on their own team? So, again, we've gotten to three key positions here, quarterback, running back, and wide receiver. Today we'll focus on tight end. We'll close the week tomorrow. We're going to start the new double dip series here, looking at the teams that have changed offenses, offense coordinators of note here that you have to know what's going on, systems check, as these are being further installed in training camp. So we'll get into that as well here on Locked On Fantasy Football. Don't forget to check out all the great shows here on the Locked On NFL Network, including Peacock and Williamson, where you have the combination of Brian Peacock, NFL analyst, and former NFL scout Matt Williamson. They'll also take you in-depth to training camp. Check them out on a variety of shows, including their own show there, Peacock and Williamson, here on the Locked On Network. All right, time to roll on with this edition of Locked On Fantasy Football. And how we've been doing this, we've been going AFC to NFC. We've also been going in alphabetical order by city name. So quite a few to cover here in tight ends. So we'll dive right into the teams, and we'll start here with the Buffalo Bills. And look, we've been waiting for Dawson Knox quite a bit here. He's had some promise as a fantasy receiver, just his athleticism, all that, but he's kind of been squeezed out of this offense with the Bills, where it's been all about the wide receivers, right? We've had John Brown, then you had Cole Beasley, then you added Stephon Diggs, took it to a whole nother level there as the go-to guy for Josh Allen. Now, John Brown is gone. Emmanuel Sanders replaced him. Cole Beasley is still around. You could have a bigger role for Gabriel Davis. So let us preface our Bills analysis of their tight end situation with the fact that this is a wide receiver-centric team. That's where what they want to do here with Brian Daboll and what they've seen in this offense. So looking at the Bills, I don't think you're going to see a lot of 12 personnel. You'll see mainly 11 personnel, three receivers, switching also to four receivers. Well, you get 10 personnel and go in that direction. So this is not a team necessarily that is going to deploy the tight end much in the pass game. That said, Dawson Knox has some competition now. They did have a young man named Tommy Sweeney, but the guy that we're looking at is Jacob Hollister. Remember him? Came up with the Patriots, was passed through the Seahawks here. So now he's with this team. He has the twin brother, we know. And again, Patriots, Seahawks, I don't think he got enough of a chance here, but the Bills like his athleticism. He's 6'4", 245. Really, we've heard a lot about Hollister and not seen a lot from Hollister in terms of his production here in different stops, but we know he has an athletic skill set that can make him a valuable receiver. So right now, Dawson Knox is getting a real threat from Hollister, and he's bounced around, but Knox, I think they've been looking for something out of him. He hasn't been completely healthy. And again, Josh Allen has moved on, connecting with other weapons. So big opportunity here for Hollister on his new team to stick. Now, maybe Hollister is there, and the comments here early from the coaching staff are to push Knox to get into role. But right now, again, you're not looking too much to the Bills for fantasy football production here. But if you're going to look right now, you'd say it's pretty close even between Hollister and Knox for who will get the most receiving looks here behind their wideouts in 2021. All right, let's go to Cincinnati from Buffalo. That's an interesting situation as well. Right now, you'd think that CJ Uzomah, the carryover, remember him and Joe Burrow had a pretty good connection. Uzomah went down early in the season, but Burrow was throwing a lot, short to intermediate in the middle of the field. Uzomah was pretty big in that capacity, but Uzomah went down, then Joe Burrow went down. So then the Bengals, you didn't really see anything develop there with Burrow throwing to a tight end for too long that he trusted. So now you look at their depth chart, and right now the number one guy listed is Drew Sample. Uzomah is second. You have Mason Schreck there. Thaddeus Moss, remember him from LSU, the son of Randy. So he's out there in this battle as well. But Drew Sample, he was drafted primarily with the blocking in mind here, but I think he does have a skill set that says that he can develop into a pretty good receiver in time. And he wasn't a zero as a receiver when you didn't have Uzomah available. He had 53 targets last year, caught 349 and one. So not lighting it up there, but he did have some decent games. So Sample, again, in a small sample size, no pun intended, he caught some key passes in games. He had 6 for 52 against the Browns. He had 5 for 47 against the Jaguars. 7 for 49 later in the season as well against Miami. So he was busy at certain times. It was meant on the to watch with the flow of the offense. And again, he was okay with Burrow. He was limited with other quarterbacks trying to fill in for him there, including Brandon Allen and Ryan Finley. But here's the deal with the Bengals offense. Ja'Marr Chase is in it, and that changes the perspective of the way that you'll see Joe Burrow throw. If he's fully healthy, they're going to trust Joe Burrow to throw downfield here a lot more. So using those three receivers that he has, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins looks excellent right now as well, and Tyler Boyd, big three reasons why we like Joe Burrow as a hot sleeper here. So regardless, Uzomah was out of necessity working in the middle of the field there. Higgins hadn't quite come along in his rookie season. So you look at the way Burrow is operating there. I think you'll see him a little bit more unleashed to throw downfield, knowing he has Chase. Great chemistry and big play connection he had from LSU. They'll pick up where they left off. Boyd is now going to be the centerpiece, literally, at slot receiver, and Higgins more on the outside. They also added Trent Taylor in the slot, the former 49er. Auden Tate is there for the outside there. So Uzomah versus Sample specifically looks a little bit leaning more towards Sample, especially if they go more blocking and youth movement there. Uzuma's not the oldest guy, but Sample pretty young in the flow of this offense with a lot of youth, where Boyd is kind of the dean now of the skill position group. So interesting to see, but again, Sample over Uzomah would not surprise anyone here if that happens. Again, limited fantasy football value, but something to know there, because I think Sample helps all these other receivers be active as well as Joe Mixon in the running game. All right, let's go from Cincinnati to Cleveland. Elsewhere in Ohio in the AFC North, and look at their tight end depth chart. Right now, it's still pretty crowded. Austin Hooper is the number one. They do like the upside of Harrison Bryant. David Njoku is still on this team here. So they're loaded at tight end, have a variety of guys they can throw to. Hooper, default by his production, his status here to be the number one, but watch out for Bryant there. Njoku is still more of a change of pace receiver. Again, this team is very deep at wide receiver too, with Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, and Rashard Higgins. We knew Hooper was going to be a little bit limited transitioning from the Falcons last year in his first year, but now Landry might be fading a little bit. Beckham is still around, but we'll have to see how it plays out. Rashard Higgins may be a limited part of the offense with Donovan Peoples-Jones and some of these other guys that they have at wide receiver. So Hooper could actually have a bigger role this year than last, but Bryant and Njoku are, again, athletic receivers right on his heels here. So I would expect it to be more a tight end by committee this year. There'll be a little bit more usage there for the tight ends in the passing game, but they're going to spread the ball around quite a bit. So we have three options here. It leans towards Hooper, but again, it can't be too interesting for fantasy football. So again, if Hooper was kind of alone in this offense and kind of on the same level as Higgins in terms of the target pecking order, we'd go there. But having the presence of Bryant Njoku really can cut into that, as well as the newfound depth at wide receiver. So be limited. Austin Hooper, if anything, I think he's a tight end too. But he's clearly the best option here still from the Browns. All right, let us go to New England, and this one is a tough one to navigate. It's not exactly a battle here because these two guys are pretty equal, and they have starting statuses from other teams. That would be Hunter Henry and Jonu Smith. Right now, Hunter Henry is listed first on the depth chart. Jonu Smith is second, but we're not quite sure how much 12 personnel the Patriots will use. Going back in the day when they had Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez, and that duo was working on the field, that was very successful for Bill O'Brien. So they're trying to throw it back, adjust the offense a little bit. Henry and Smith are also very good blockers. It's interesting because you had Devin Asiasi and Dalton Keene. We thought those young tight ends were going to get a look. So they just recently drafted two tight ends. This year they sign two of the top free agent tight ends on the market, maybe the top two. So interesting direction there. Part of it is you don't trust wide receivers much. N'Keal Harry could be on the move here. Jacoby Myers might be their best receiver with his experience with Cam Newton, but they also had Nelson Agholor and Kendrick Bourne. These are more role-playing wide receivers. They don't really have a clear-cut number one. So the answer with the Patriots is I think Henry and Smith are going to be a big part, not just blocking their in line, but also catching passes here for Newton. Newton gets in the zone with these tight ends. Going back to his Greg Olsen days, Mac Jones is going to treat Henry and Smith, if he should he get in there this season, as security blankets of the position. So I would not be surprised if Henry and Smith are the two leading receivers and most productive players, with Jacoby Myers maybe challenging them, while Agholor and Bourne have their share of certain situational moments. Agholor maybe stretching the field with some versatility inside-outside. Kendrick Bourne maybe helping out in the red zone, with Myers looking good, maybe expanding from a bit of a slot role. But I see this as definitely a receiving committee. But Henry and Smith certainly can close drives as they're leaning towards the run. Have both these guys out there helping Damian Harris as the lead back, Cam Newton, and then chances to throw off play action and score touchdowns. So Henry and Smith, I think it's pretty equal. That doesn't mean you can't extract some value here, but just the fact they're on the same team together, successful tight ends, makes both of them kind of borderline tight end 1-2s at the position in that 12 to 14 range there in the rankings. And it's unfortunate. You wish they had split and gone to different situations, but didn't quite happen. But the Patriots should make both a pretty focal point of the offense. You know, it would surprise no one if those were the two leading receivers on this team when it was all said and done in 2021. All right, so we got through four teams there. We still actually have nine teams to talk about, nine teams to talk about with their tight end battles here going into training camp. So we'll get to those here in our final two segments. But I do have to remind you about Rock Auto. This episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now possible for you to go to your local chain auto parts store and know that they'll stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning while waiting and seeing the person behind the counter getting all the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using rockauto.com yourself. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more of the same parts for a chain store or car dealership? Take the Honda Odyssey fuel pump. It's $353 from any chain store, but only $216 from Rock Auto. That's mega savings right there. You can also feel good about shopping at rockauto.com. It's a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for more than 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. You'll find everything you could need at rockauto.com. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Look, I was looking for a side mirror piece that was hard to find for my Ford. They had it there at Rock Auto. So check it out there. Go explore their easy-to-use website today at rockauto.com and find the selection and solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right locked on in there. How did you hear about us, Box? So they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. You can find them at rockauto.com. We'll be right back here to look at another team from the AFC East and their tight end situation for 2021. All right, so we talked about Buffalo in the show. We talked about New England in between. We looked at the two Ohio teams, Cincinnati and Cleveland. Now we will talk about one more team. We know Mike Gesicki is fine for the Miami Dolphins lead role, but the Jets in the same division as the Patriots and Bills have a tight end question. So they added Tyler Croft to the mix. They also have Brian Griffin still hanging around, the former Texan. Daniel Brown, the former Bear. And then Chris Herndon, remember him? He's still there hanging on with this new offense with the Jets. Now, you would think this offense is friendlier for the tight end with Michael LaFleur coming in, with George Kittle being the centerpiece in San Francisco. You saw Robert Tonyan occur as a breakout player for Matt LaFleur and the Packers. So this could be a key role here for the Jets. That said, keep in mind, we were talking about their wide receiver battles, and it's pretty deep here between Corey Davis, Denzel Mims, Jameson Crowder, Keelan Cole, Elijah Moore, Braxton Berrios. So they have quite a bit of depth to run most 11 personnel, but that still means they have room for a tight end in this offense. You use the 11, you're still going to start one. So again, so somebody could emerge here, and right now Tyler Croft has been more impressive than Chris Herndon. Herndon's just been disappointing. He's had some moments there catching passes. He's been athletic. Sam Darnold liked him at one point, but Darnold is gone. You've pivoted to Zach Wilson. Herndon's had injury and suspension issues here holding him back. Croft has been a guy that's been hurt for a lot of his career. He was there with the Bengals when Tyler Eifert was around. He was kind of his backup, had a few moments flashing there off the bench to help fill in for Eifert. And then he went to the Bills where they drafted Dawson Knox and never materialized where they were utilized consistently here. So now he ends up with the Jets, his second to AFC East team, I should say. And he's making some noise here as potential key target for Zach Wilson. So again, tight end potentially has some value here with the Jets, even behind the 11 personnel. And right now, Croft has a slight lead, maybe going into camp to displace Herndon. So something to watch there if you were putting Herndon on your radar, knowing the rookie quarterback security blanket thing was in play with Wilson. He may not be the guy that he trusts there. And again, big crowd at wide receiver. So limited there with the Jets is more deep sleeper territory to look at Croft over Herndon here at tight end. All right, our next team we'll look at, this is definitely intriguing as well, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, we know they are locked into three very good receivers, Juju Smith-Schuster, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson. We get a lot of 11 personnel with them. But we could see a sudden changing of the guard at tight end receiving. Eric Ebron has had some moments with the Steelers coming over, mainly catching touchdowns like he did with the Colts when he was doing his thing with Andrew Luck. So Ebron and Ben Roethlisberger have had a decent chemistry, but Ebron's also had his injury issues. He's a little older. He can drop the ball. They also saw Vance McDonald head off into the sunset here. So what do? They went in-state and drafted Penn State's Pat Freiermuth there. So Zach Gentry's still hanging around, the kid from Michigan. But Freiermuth, there's a lot of buzz on what he can do this offense here. But again, right now, it's going to flow through the receivers. And don't forget, after Juju, Chase Claypool, and Deontay Johnson, you also have James Washington hanging around. So they could stretch the field and spread the field with four wide receivers here. So again, it's incorporating this tight end to some degree. When we look at Eric Ebron's numbers here with the Steelers, it's been okay. And it's not nearly that random big touchdown season he had with the Colts. Remember, he had 13 touchdowns there in 2018. Last year, in his first year, 91 targets there for Ebron. A lot of that was Ben Roethlisberger's shot arm strength, throwing a lot of short to intermediate balls, 558 yards and 5 TDs. So modest production there, but there could be a little bit more available. Ebron, again, not fully healthy in a Steelers uniform, coming off an injury real season. He's getting a little older, so Freiermuth definitely has the door open. Again, Ebron seems like he's a lot older, but he has some wear down. He's 28 years old, 6'4", 253. Freiermuth is a very good all-around tight end. Ebron is hard to trust in line, so that could help Freiermuth get on the field here. Yeah, so we'll watch the situation closely. Freiermuth is the better all-around tight end, and that's why they drafted him, to get him in the mix and kind of clean things up, help on the short to intermediate routes, where Roethlisberger is now leaning a little bit more. So we'll have to see. Ebron is still in the mix. If they would move on from Ebron or he breaks down, then Freiermuth has a chance for a big role. But for right now, you have to look at him as a deep tight end two sleeper as a rookie there, the kid from Penn State. Let's look at our next team and their intriguing tight end situation as we transition from the AFC to the NFC. We'll look at the Carolina Panthers, and this was irrelevant for a while post Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen was hanging on there, but shelved himself and what he was doing. We thought Ian Thomas might be the heir apparent. That didn't happen and materialize. Ian Thomas is still on this team, but now he's got some company. Tommy Tremble, the rookie from Notre Dame. And Dan Arnold, remember him? There was a lot of buzz about him with the Cardinals maybe breaking out, transitioning from the Saints. He showed some promise there in New Orleans. Went to Arizona. We thought he was going to be a key part of what they did. But, again, too many wide receiver mouths to feed there with the Cardinals. And now the Panthers, looking at this situation, it's going to be crowded as well. You have Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, the top receivers. Then you have Terrace Marshall, the rookie. You have Shai Smith, another rookie. You have David Moore, the former Seahawk. He's still in the mix. And you have big receiver out of the backfield in Christian McCaffrey. So limited here. We have to wait to see it, but we know there's a history there with Joe Brady going back to Thaddeus Moss. We talked about him earlier out of LSU, using him in the passing game, incorporating him with other receivers at wideout. So looking at Dan Arnold, we'll watch and we'll pay attention, but still clearly looking at Arnold's job to lose here as a it's a tongue twister as he looks to be the key security blanket for Sam Darnold. Darnold, again, threw a lot to the tight end. We mentioned with the Jets and looking at Chris Herndon and Ryan Griffin and others. So that helps Dan Arnold. Again, deep sleeper here, but I think when you weigh it, and we've talked about Tyler Croft on the show and Jacob Hollister, those guys are way down on the list. Drew Sample there to some degree, and Pat Freiermuth, if they can carve out key roles over veterans, watch out for them. But here's maybe a direct path to production here, especially with that third receiver spot in flux here behind Anderson and Moore. So looking at McCaffrey, Anderson, Moore as the pecking order here for the receiving targets. But Dan Arnold certainly could work his way into the conversation. But clearly, Arnold has the edge over Thomas and Tremble here in training camp for the Panthers. The next team we'll talk about staying here at the C's is the Chicago Bears, and this one is interesting. We were pretty convinced that they might move on from Jimmy Graham with his age and the salary cap money they could have recouped and all that, or Graham might have straight up retired here going into his age 34 season, but that didn't happen. He's hanging around, maybe passing the torch here to Cole Kmet at some point this year. Cole Kmet, again, last year was pretty active as a rookie, 44 targets, they're caught 28 balls for 243 and two. Not bad, given that you had Jimmy Graham basically as a starter and the guy they looked at most. I mean, consider 76 targets for Graham, caught 50 for a healthy amount of yards, 456 there, but 8 TDs. So, again, Jimmy Graham, very touchdown dependent. I mean, his yards per catch down to 9.1 here, so clearly slowing down, but definitely a nice big target to go chuck two in the end zone. But Cole Kmet is pretty huge himself. 6'6", 262. Again, they didn't really stretch the field much with their tight ends. He had 8.7 yards per catch. That might change here with either Andy Dalton or Justin Fields in there at quarterback. Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky didn't get the tight end involved enough the way they could have all over the field. But Kmet certainly with an opening to pass Graham, be a more regular fixture in this offense. And Kmet certainly has some upside. We've talked about him as a second-year breakout player that we could watch and put on the radar, because he's behind Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, and David Montgomery will catch some passes out of the backfield. Terry Cohen is back. Robinson is the clear dominant target go-to guy. Mooney has some special upside as a second-year receiver. But Anthony Miller, a lot of questions about him as a third receiver. Then a bunch of journeymen, Demir Byrd, Marquise Goodwin. Then you have young draftees here, Riley Ridley and the rookie Daz Newsome, and you have Javon Wims. And then these guys really scream as being a key third target behind Robinson. So Kmet has a big opportunity here. Graham, I'm sure, will go into a lesser kind of change of pace receiving role to kind of offset Kmet. Kmet's a pretty good blocker as well. You know, that's not been Graham's strong suit throughout his career. So, yeah, watch out for Cole Kmet here being heavily involved, but clearly he's on track to be the number one while Graham fades into a smaller role, which could be his last season in the NFL. All right, let's go to Dallas next. Carolina to Chicago to Dallas. Now, Blake Jarwin is coming back from a major injury as well as Dak Prescott as quarterback. So now it's him, Dalton Schultz, who had some moments last year there out of necessity with Jarwin on the shelf and Prescott on the shelf. And the add Jeremy Sprinkle, remember him? Former Washington football team tight end behind now Logan Thomas there, taking over. So Blake Jarwin, again, they've teased Blake Jarwin being a key part of this offense for a while. He got off to a bit of a quick start last year, but then that was it. He had one game, played against the Rams, got hurt, and that was that for his usage. So he's a guy with a lot of durability issues. Dalton Schultz came in more as a blocking type. We know they haven't had much tight end relevance there since Jason Witten retired, but look at the numbers last year for Dalton Schultz. Pretty healthy, 89 targets, caught 63 for 615 and 4. So right now I would lean towards Schultz because he's a little bit more reliable to use all around. I think it's, again, 11 personnel team, so a lot of one tight end sets. They're going to use the guy that they trust most, security blanket. Jarwin needs to kind of establish himself there, while Schultz really looked pretty good last year as an all-around tight end. So I think Jarwin has his work cut out coming back from injury. Schultz, a little bit more established, took advantage of his opportunity last year. So lean towards Schultz over Jarwin. Again, this is going to be the fourth target that you look at behind the three receivers here for Dallas with the Prescott back. Not a lot of, or as many checkdowns here with Dak in there and his big arm. So again, Schultz, Jarwin is going to be tough to call there, but I'd say Schultz has a bit of an edge just from the health and the recency bias there in Dallas. All right, so that takes care of five more teams and their tight end situations. We still have four more teams to talk about and break down those battles for you going into camp. But I do have to remind you that BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing in the second half, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and information for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL, of course, futures and props, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game as we still have a lot of baseball to be played. NBA NHL is over, but you can already look ahead to next season, and we know that's out there for NFL preseason games that are coming up around the corner. Head to the website there at BetOnline or use a mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All you have to do is enter the promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline. Again, 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We'll be right back here to close the show, looking at our final few tight end situations to monitor here in training camp 2021. All right, let us continue here, and we go from Carolina, Chicago, Dallas to our fourth NFC team, and that would be the New Orleans Saints. And this, folks, may not be much of a battle here overall. It's more of just a reminder, as this team pretty much cleaned house. You had Josh Hill and Jared Cook as options here at tight end. Nick Vanette is now your number two, and not a lot there. You have the wide receiver tight end hybrid Juwan Johnson on the depth chart of this position, and Garrett Griffin. But Adam Trautman, the second-year player there out of Dayton, they traded up to get him. They're excited to do it. Not only will win this job easily, I think you can consider him a strong number one already, where Vanette is not much of a threat. He's been a career backup. And also carve out a key role. There's a lot of ambiguity behind Michael Thomas at wideout, Alvin Kamara at the backfield, and who's going to catch passes for this team. So we're excited about Trautman. We don't see it quite yet in Tre'Quan Smith. Deontay Harris and Marquez Callaway could be battling there for similar roles here. Tre'Quan is more possession type. Trautman actually has a little bit more field stretching ability down the middle of the field. So Trautman clearly is the New Orleans choice here, and we'll have to see how big a role they can give him as the starter here this season. All right, we'll go from New Orleans to New York and the Giants. And with the Giants, it's more about finding out how much Evan Ingram is going to lose juice here. And it's not looking good for Evan Ingram, for sure, because you look at Kenny Galladay, you get a legitimate number one there. You also draft Kadarius Toney, so now you have a first-round capital on a wide receiver. You use high free agent dollars. That adds to Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton. At the same time, you add Kyle Rudolph. The veteran comes over. He wanted to break free from that Viking situation, get paid a little bit more. You still have Caden Smith and Laviane Tolalo. We've had their moments. Caden Smith is a pretty good receiver. Tolalo from the Falcons has held up as a pretty good blocker. So Evan Ingram, just the arrow keeps pointing down here. We know Rudolph quite cut into the production of Irv Smith and the potential there with the Vikings last year. So Kyle Rudolph, certainly something to watch there with his ability to block and be valuable in line. I don't know how much 12 personnel this team is going to use with the two tight ends. They could change that, but they also have more depth at wide receiver. I think what you'll see is a hybrid combination of looks here from this team with multiple wide receivers and multiple tight ends. So Rudolph, Cutting, and Ingram. Again, Ingram's still the starter, but Rudolph, Smith, Tololo, you figure not all these guys are going to be carried. Rudolph certainly will be on the team. Smith is the best bet to be the third tight end. So it could be a tight end by committee here, and not a lot of situations that favor Ingram, who's had plenty of chances here. He had the best chemistry for a little while with Eli Manning for a short period of time. But again, Ingram and Rudolph pretty even here in these groupings for the Giants. And again, Ingram is going to be the starter and so-called win this battle, but Rudolph is definitely going to be a thorn in the side of his usage and production here in 2021. All right, we go from the Giants to another NFC East team. That would be the Philadelphia Eagles. And again, trying to just make sense of where things might lean in the situation. So a lot of it is looking at two tight end sets and knowing how involved one will be over the other. You have Dallas Goedert. Zach Ertz, to many surprise, was not traded or moved on here from by the Eagles. So he's still hanging around, even with Carson Wentz, his good buddy, gone in Indianapolis. Indianapolis might still be a late camp player to look at Zach Ertz with not much there. Jack Doyle and Mo Alie-Cox, we'll watch that. So that certainly would change the dynamic and bump up the value of Ertz greatly. And Goddard would see a few bumps up as well. They also have Richard Rodgers here as the third tight end. Remember him from the Packers. Caught a Hail Mary winner there for Aaron Rodgers against the Lions. So he's around. He's a pretty athletic target. Can make some moves here. So Caleb Wilson is their number four tight end right now, according to their depth chart going into camp. So Goddard should have a key role with some wide receiver ambiguity with Devonta Smith, the rookie, and Jalen Reagor, second-year player, trying to carve out key roles on the outside as the X and as the slot Y. Relation Z could have been a little bit more of a work in progress. So Goddard certainly has an opportunity to be the key third target on this team, while Ertz clearly looking like the fourth target and again could be moved here. So Goddard certainly clearly entrenched now to pass Ertz if there was any question mark about that. And that means in every which way. Be on the field to block, be on the field as the bigger key target. And let's hope Ertz gets moved, because right now he's buried with absolutely no value, while Goddard has a lot of exciting upside value as a backdoor tight end one. Finally, we'll look at Tampa Bay again. This is not necessarily a battle. That's the trick with tight ends. We're not looking at traditional battles, but just how they're going to distribute the ball. The Bucs are as talented and as crowded as anyone at tight end, with Rob Gronkowski back in the mix for another year, O.J. Howard coming back from a major injury, and Cameron Brate still hanging around for Tom Brady. So Brady and Gronk really revved it up in the second half of the season once Gronk was indoctrinated into the offense and got rolling, kind of like Antonio Brown. So again, you'll see Brown probably having a big role still with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin there. Gronk, still the trust in Brady's going to be there. So we're not sure exactly how much he's going to use O.J. Howard, but I still think this leans towards Gronk being the number one with the familiarity. But Howard coming back complicates things. It could be a full-blown committee between these three guys. Would they move on from Cameron Brate? Something to watch. Would they trade O.J. Howard? That would certainly help. But right now, lean towards Gronk, which makes him more of a back-end tight end one that's in the 12 to 14 range at the position because of the presence of Howard and Brate. Well, Howard and Brate both off the radar because of this. So things could change quickly. If Gronk just gets tired and decides to retire in camp, that really helps Howard. If Howard's moved, that's going to help Gronk quite a bit here as well. And Brate have some kind of relevance. But right now, it's really down to Gronk and Howard that you would look at in fantasy, and I would lean really to stay with Gronk, have an impact for Brady here in the short term. All right, so there you have it. There's a look at 13 tight end situations, camp battles series here, as we've wrapped it up now with quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers, and the show all about tight ends. Don't forget, we will start looking at new systems, offense coordinators in the NFL, starting with the AFC on Friday, then go turn around and complete our preview of training camp with the NFC systems check there with all the new coordinator changes and what that means for the skilled players involved for fantasy football in 2021. So excited to talk about that. It's been fun breaking down the battles for you. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. If you missed the previous positions, check those out. They're up there on our archives. Also check out the Locked On Today podcast. Today on Locked On Today, Are Texas and Oklahoma headed for the SEC? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with Locked On Today podcast. Follow Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Same goes here for Locked On Fantasy Football. Check us out wherever you get your podcasts, including Odyssey. And we're just thankful you're listening. However you're getting us, we appreciate it. And we're going here 5 days a week here all the way through the season. So we're locked in to regular season mode. Now we're going to get you ready to dominate your draft. And that's what we're doing with the updated news, information, notes, analysis you need here building up to your draft. So looking forward to our drafts. Looking forward to talking a lot more fantasy football here on LOFF. For LOFF, this has been Vinny Iyer. Have a great day. See you to wrap up the week on Friday.